Oh, sorry, let me rephrase. We're back from closed session. We'll move on to item four. And we have closed session announcements, and that will be made by Mr. Gong. Mr. Gong.
Yes, thank you, Chair Ozahasi. The committee met in closed session. We discussed the item as listed under closed session item 3.1, and there was no reportable action taken under the breakfast.
Thank you, Mr. Kong. Are there any questions from the public? Pardon?
Not right.
Okay. Anyone attending virtually?
Yeah.
All right. We move to item number five, recommend adoption of a resolution approving the recycled water rules and regulations. And this will be presented by Mr. Kong. Mr. Kong.
Thank you. Yuni, can you pull up the very brief presentation? Let's keep it that way, hopefully, on my side. All right. So this item is dealing with recycled water rules and regulations for the agency. I was coaxing Shadi to come in and give this presentation, but he had a conflict tonight, so I'm gonna run through it. And I mentioned Shadi because this is a kind of a cross organizational, thing that we're doing with recycled water. It's touching, a lot of different areas of our organization: engineering, water resources, operations, obviously. Finance. I mean, it hits them all. The agency has historically, one of the predecessor agencies, Cass State Public Water Agency, had a recycled water rules and regulations handbook. This process is to update that handbook and kind of recognize the new relationships and roles that the agency is taking on with responsibilities for recycled water going forward. So, meeting next slide. The handbook, the sanitation districts has a really well-developed handbook, so we're not recreating the wheel. The agency's handbook was following that model. This one does as well, but it incorporates things that are specific to Santa Cruz Valley Water Agency. It's really, the objective is to really do a one-stop shop for all the documents, forms, requirements for recycled water. And this is really focused kind of on our relationship with the end user. We have contractual arrangements between us and the sanitation district about how we purchase recycled water and that relationship, how we treat that handoff of purchasing the water from what they call a producer, which is the sanitation district, and we're a distributor of recycled water. This really handles a relationship between the water agency and the end user. So the people that are actually using the water, paying to use it to irrigate, for instance, a common area or golf course, whatever that use may be. And everybody says, well, why do we use more recycled water? It's easy. It's there, right? Well, when you start looking at the requirements, you kind of get a feeling of why that sometimes is a challenge. There are a lot of responsibilities that both the agency takes on for the delivery of recycled water, as well as an end user for the use of that water. And so this defines that relationship. I'm happy to go into the detail. It's very regulatory driven, process driven, policy driven. So I wasn't going to delve into all those areas other than we need to have this. The regulatory community looks to us to have an adopted rules and regulations, and this satisfies that requirement. Next slide, Uni. So it's really, just a set of basic documents and forms and policies that are all linked up into a kind of a single document that we call the Rules and Regulations Handbook. Those are listed here. So, you've kind of got the general rules and regs, and then just a huge amount of attachments of kind of policies and forms and processes things to notify if you have a leak, if you have a cross connection. There's a whole process about how you deal with that. There's site inspections that are involved with recycled water that you have to conduct. And so there's a relationship that's managed there with the end user. Does a really good job, I think, of laying all those things out. Obviously, you probably get a feeling for why we asked for a new staff member to start helping with this. So far. And historically, it's been kind of, all hands on deck approach, but we were really feeling the need, especially as we're starting to expand, hopefully, end user agreements and things to manage that in a way that makes sure we're doing it properly. We are very close to having that staff member on staff now. So I think there's several of us that are excited about that opportunity so that that we can have that responsibility clearly identified for our organization. So that's where I'll stop. The rules and regs are there. The recommendation is that we get it to the board, we get it adopted. Preference would be on consent calendar for the committee. Is in agreement with that, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from public in attendance?
Are you saying you're continuing this?
Hold on. Can you keep the camera on? Okay, please go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead with your question.
I was just asking, you did not take any action earlier, and is that correct? And right now, you're just considering. I think that's a good way to go. You've been doing great.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments from public attending virtual?
We do.
Oh, that's first.
Yay.
A caller with number 9729, you can unmute and speak when you're ready.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Okay, my name is Ed Dunn. I'm a former president of a local water district, and I wanted to remind that our recycled water is not legally available for use by any development that is forbidden to use state water, and we do have a case like that. Because our recycled water is 50% state water, therefore it cannot be used for those purposes, and we're way overdue not using it for our city where it's being produced. And where is that facility to treat their own sewer water for the place west of us? We were promised that. Instead, they're hooked on to our sewer processing, and they're using our recycled water that up till now has just been dumped in the river and saved. It seems to be that it's being saved for a private developer. Now, that's not a good thing for us. Our city should be getting use, and they're violating the state mandate that if recycled water was available, it must be used. And that's been violated by our water districts that have taken control of the recycled water, has been violated for 30 years. For 30 years, that mandate's there, and you're ignoring the mandate. I think we got to start putting the recycled water on our streets, our Central Park, and our other parks. So I would be very pleased if we start having recycled water that is ours used here. After all, we're paying for it. The people of this city are producing that water. It belongs to them, not anybody else. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. Mr. Cole, just for the record, can you address that comment as briefly as possible?
Sure. There was a lot there. Tonight, we're considering the rules and regulations to help deliver recycled water, not only to, I believe, the development that Mr. Dunn's referencing is New Hall Ranch project, but this will also move forward the ability to service recycled water to other areas of the community.
Thank you.
The items tonight.
All right. No further questions?
There's none.
All right. I'll go on to directors. Directors, any questions, comments?
Comments. Read through it is quite comprehensive. I compliment the staff
and consultants that pulled it together. I found a few formatting and one title file, just give you, and you can and that or shall I?
Okay. Dr. Cooper?
You know, I went through not all of this. I went through some of this. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that we just need to work with for a while and see where it's at and make changes as we go down the line. But with that, I think somebody's put a lot of work into this. This is a lot of detail.
Okay. I have a question on section 1.3 and 1.4. So, regarding primary, secondary, and tertiary treatments, these treatment methods.
Which page are
you? On page 2 of
the assessment. 15 of the packet.
Yeah. Hard to tell.
Oh, yeah, I think it's online.
It's on 22. It's stamped on the date, but it's on page 2 on the rules and reg handbook.
Oh.
Okay, so primary, secondary, and tertiary treatment. So it's my understanding that this was modeled on a similar handbook. And is this being devised under current regs as they are right now in 2023? Or let's say, the first draft that just was this was written in, I believe, 20. Hold on. I believe it's speed under Castaic Lake under when the first rules and regs were written by Castaic Lake Agency predecessor agency. So my question is, the section 1.3 and 1.4, have they been revised since the first draft was done?
Yeah, this document is building upon those previous documents to bring it to current standard. So the direct answer to your question is yes. It is meant to address current standards.
And if we need to change any of these items in this handbook, what's the process? Does it also do any changes have to come in front of the board, or can the staff make changes independent of the board?
I would say it would depend on the changes. If they're material, then it would come back through the board. Okay. The regulatory agencies are looking for the agency's commitment, not just staff's commitment to make sure that we're behind managing recycled water in a way that's safe for the community.
Okay.
So, I would say, you know, if they're immaterial, like Director Marks had mentioned tonight, then staff would make those. If they are material changes, then we would most likely bring an addendum through a similar process that we're doing tonight.
So any changes to... In section to approved uses in irrigation, supply of and construction uses, those will have to be brought to the board.
Yeah, what we try to do is be comprehensive in this document. So there, most of the uses that we envision going forward are included. If there are some that you think aren't and should be, then let us know and we can make some adjustments with that. The process, Chair Orzechowski, is very regulatory driven. So, as I mentioned, this is the kind of the relationship between us and the end user. There's a whole other relationship between us and the regulatory agencies and the documents that are required to get permit approval. And so you'll see those references in here, but to things like a Title 22 engineering document. Those are the really formal process that drive the regulatory approvals for us to be able to distribute recycled water.
And those permits include quality checks, frequency of quality checks, things of that nature?
They definitely include, yeah, a process that the Regional Water Quality Control Board, as well as the Division of Drinking Water, have to buy off on our responsibilities of how we're handling that. This is a piece of it. There's a whole other piece that happens through that engineering report and permit approval. There will be permit requirements that drive, you know, that relationship between us and the regulatory departments.
Okay. All right. Understood. Thank you. Judge Cooper.
In the list of people that can use the recycled water, many years ago, you went out and solicited customers and who were going to be the first customers when we did the plan some time ago, and it was Nancy's Christmas Tree Farm, and I see that one of our nurseries in here. But we also had Magic Mountain in there, and they were going to be a customer, and there was going to be a retrofit that we were going to share costs with them in retrofitting Magic Mountain. And now this was even probably prior to Hurricane Harbor. I don't know how that works now for people to swim in it. Probably not.
It's a lot of landscaping.
But they were an interested customer at the time. So I don't know if you want something in there that identifies that, if you want them as a customer down the road.
Yeah, we'll check with staff and the history on that a little bit, and let me see if that's something we want to kind of get into. I think, you know, the challenge with on some of these is you're bootstrapping against what we've put in the Title 22 engineering report as the end users. And so I'm very hesitant right now to change anything because we're on the cusp of getting permit approval. So,
well, and if need be, we can always amend and come back in the health department.
We can, and that's the process. If Magic Mountain wanted to move forward, then we can do an addendum and we'll throw them in and then we'll go forward. But I'm really trying to manage not changing anything at this point because we're really close to getting the permit approval.
Can you splash people with it?
No, you're not supposed to have. You're not supposed to have people.
Well, I was amazed by the detail that's in here. You know, if you had a water hauler, something about recycled water. There's a recommendation in here to, for him to wash his hands and everything. Down to
personal hygiene. Yes.
When you used to, I'm trying to remember the guy's name that was the head of the sand department operations, and you would go and do a tour. And when you got to the end of his tour, he would bring you into their lab and he would take a cup of their tertiary water and drink it and offer it to everybody else that was there. Nobody else ever took it, but he did.
I've done the Orange County one. I don't know about tertiary.
It's not quite all of it.
Okay. All right. I think there's a consensus here to move forward with this and put it on the consent calendar. Any objections from directors?
I think that's a good spot for it. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. All right, let's move on to item 6, appointment and reappointment of the SCV GSA Board of Directors and Alternate Board of Directors for the 2024-2026 term. Mr. Cole.
Yes, thank you. Not too much to add. I think the agenda covers it pretty well. There's a process by which we get to appoint or reappoint our directors that we've selected to sit on the Groundwater Sustainability Agency. There are 4 seats. The listed, and I'm trying to get to my packet here. Okay, so the listed directors are there in the packet that sit on the GSA board currently. And so we're up to go through the process of looking at that list and appointing or reappointing new directors to represent Santa Fe Valley Water Agency on the Groundwater Sustainability Agency. So currently, Director Cooper, Director Gutzeit, Director Martin, who is actually the Vice President of SCV GSA right now, Director Orzechowski, and then we have some kind of legacy others that are still as alternates on that. So Jeff Ford, RJ Kelly, and Lynn Plumback are alternates. One thing I will say just about the way the presidency works for that the Santa Clarita Valley Water or GSA is it's kind of a process that you work through. There's a table. There was an agreed upon table of how you worked your way through for the different organizations to have a fair representation of the group that's there. So I would say, you know, if Director Martin's next in line to be the president. So if he weren't reappointed, then we'd have to go through a little bit different process to handle that. Not that we couldn't, but we just would. So right now, it's really up to the consideration of the committee and then ultimately the board to select the representatives that we'd like to represent the agency on that group.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Any comments from the public in attendance?
No. Me too.
Okay.
Mr. Dunn, you can unmute and speak whenever you're ready.
Okie doke, I'm ready. I would like to see Lynn Planbeck reappointed to this board. Maria Gutzeit was not on the SCV Water Agency Board, but was a director on this GSA board as a private citizen. As Mr. Martin mentioned recently, Maria was qualified. Well, so is Lynn Planbeck. The public should not have agencies playing favorites with the public's water. I strongly suggest that you do keep Lynn on that board. She is an asset to our community. And maybe she isn't playing ball with everybody, but she is trying to do the truthful, honest job. And I would like for the public, and I would like to see her stay on that committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn.
Any other comments from
there's none.
And this, I mean, I'll just add, this is a little bit difficult process for a committee, right? Maybe we could just take this to the board and handle it there, right? It's hard to, if somebody doesn't want to serve, but the committees that would like to serve, we've got two of the current directors, you know, that are representative, but however the committee wants to handle that, we can
make a suggestion, mm-hmm. and that suggestion always has to be presented to the board with their approval. My alternate is Mr. Ford, and I think he is extremely qualified to be my alternate. Groundwater is his expertise. We certainly want to keep him on SCV GSA. Mr. Kell. Mr. Kelly is no longer with the agency. And who's Mr. Kelly's? He's an alternate.
Let me walk through that a little bit too. We don't need any alternates, so there's no like rule. We could have somebody sit in at the time. We had historically had like one alternate for each member.
Okay.
And then we decided to transition to just having three alternates that could serve for whoever was missing. And so there's no hard, fast rule on the number of alternates that the board needs to have. We definitely need the four members selected. So if the committee wanted to go down to two alternates or back up to four alternates, we can do it.
I think Mr. Stone was an alternate at one time.
He was.
It's pretty rare to have more than one of our people that's not going to be there. And I would think that we could go down to having just one alternate. We don't need more than that. If we did want to have more than that, I would suggest that we bring two people in off of the board to serve in that and get them to start hearing a little bit of what the GSA does.
I have an interest in serving on the committee or as an alternate. I helped put the GSA together, and as well as the Groundwater Sustainability Plan. So I think I have a fair amount of expertise and perspective that I could offer in whatever role the board deems appropriate.
Okay. Dr. Gubin, would you like to remain as a director?
Oh, I would.
Yeah. Okay. And I believe Director Goodside and Director Martin would also like to remain on there.
You know, with Jeff's background in his CEQA and his understanding of groundwater issues, it'd be good to keep him on there. I would replace Kelly with Dirk and Lynn with Ken Peterson.
Okay. So in that case, Mr. Kelly would be replaced by Director Marks and Ms. Blanbeck by Ken Peterson. Mr. Cole, if a director, for whatever reason, is not able to serve or chooses not to serve, what's the process?
It chooses
to step
down.
To step down, yeah.
We would come back through this type of process again and look to move somebody from an alternate up or another replacement directly as a director.
Okay, and that can happen at any time? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so let's see. So all directors would stay, and the changes right now is have Mr. Ford remain as an alternate, replace Mr. Kelly with Director Marks, and replace Ms. Planbeck with Director Peterson. Do we have an agreement?
I'm fine with that. Good.
Dr. Marks, would you be interested in the near future to serve as an acting director on SCBGSA?
Yes, I would be.
All right. Okay.
Should we put those on consent?
I'll take that into consideration.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think that somebody's going to pull it off of consent.
Yeah. Yeah, we can try consent, but I think this may be cool. So I guess the decisions by the committee is all directors remain as is. Mr. Ford remains as an alternate, and we replace Mr. Kelly with Director Marks as an alternate, and replace Ms. Planbeck with Director Peterson as an alternate.
Okay,
I'm good with that.
We'll draft it up and we'll place it on consent for now. That's a consensus.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to item 7.1, staff activities presented by Mr. Alassane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Directors. I have one item, and I think Steve has another one. So on June 19th, we started a meeting. We call it coordination meeting with upper and lower Santa Clara River. The main purpose of that meeting is to facilitate information sharing and collaboration on groundwater-dependent ecosystems and invasive species management, and we wanted to know what's happening at the lower basin versus what's happening at the upper basin. And we thought that meeting started with the building together an inventory for all the projects that's happening at this point. And all of these projects, how they are related. And there was a good presence of different stakeholders from both basins, the upper and lower. From us here, we have the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency represented in that with a couple of staff members. And from the lower basin, we have the Ventura County Resources Conservation District. We have United presenting was there in that meeting, and this is going to be a continuous meeting because there is a lot of information, there is a lot of activities happening that's led by those different entities in the basin, and there is a lot of information and knowledge that could be shared that could benefit each other, including also some of the other nonprofit organizations like the Nature Conservancy, Western Foundation of Vertebrate Zoology, and then we have the UC Santa Barbara because they have a couple of research projects that's happening in the basin, and they were sharing some of the information. This effort is coordinated by consultancy Stillwater Consultancy, and they have been working in the lower basin for some time, and they are also members of the integrated water management planning for the region, for the whole basin. And so we have been working in mainly understanding what projects are happening now and where we can leverage resources from each other for all those agencies who are trying to work on meeting some of the regulatory mandates or meeting some of the management mandates that they have in the two basins.
Mr. Chair. Okay. And there was another item that you mentioned that Mr. Palma had.
Yeah, I was just going to run through one thing. You can notice on the agenda that we gave Matt Dickens the night off since he was front and center last night for a couple items. So
you did a good job last night.
Oh, thank you. I'll share that with them. I appreciate the board's engagement input. So that was a good step forward for us last night. Not the last one we'll take, but it was a good one.
We appreciate your patience.
Yeah. No, it worked out well. I thought we got a lot of feedback and it was constructive. So that was good. One thing I just wanted to point out, kind of the line of collaboration, like I'll leave the afternoon up or lower. Cayuga's put on a workshop today, and myself and General Manager Stone participated in that. So it was a facilitated discussion of kind of regional, kind of a regional thought process that they're trying to get rolling for their areas. I think, you know, impetus, they really took it on the chin with this last shortage, right? And Metropolitan's lack of ability to get water out to kind of that area of their service area. So, you know, Las Virgenes, Cayugas, and all the people that rely on Cayugas to deliver that water.
They were that close.
They had, you know, issues. And so I think, you know, they've always talked about regional planning and things, but the impetus, the pressure, I think somebody used the word kick in the pants, you know, they're, I think, you're going to see them take a much more proactive, you know, approach to trying to manage regional resources out there so they don't end up in that condition again. Metropolitan's trying to make some improvements and they're going to make some investments, but those will take a considerable amount of time. This was a facilitated discussion, a lot of good representation. There were, you know, public works directors from Thousand Oaks, from Oxnard, City of Ventura, United was represented, ourselves, Casitas. Yeah, the list goes on. Las Virgenes, obviously, in that discussion, City of Simi Valley. It was really a good group. And it was a pretty good group of experienced managers. And so they walked us through a couple, you know, kind of workshop exercises to identify common goals and things, kind of like things like Ed Beans was talking about last night with strategic planning. So kind of that approach of, you know, what types of investments make sense for the region and how do you partner together to do that? You know, kind of just the disparity of say like an Oxnard and their kind of water base, their rate base versus Las Virgenes or Thousand Oaks and the dynamics that happen there about just affordability and those things as you're starting to consider some of these larger investments and brainstorm. So it was a really good brainstorming exercise. This was the first workshop. They're envisioning a kind of a three-phase process that they walk through, and it's going to go over a considerable amount of time. The facilitator, it was interesting to see Paul Jones is back in business, so he was. He's a long-term general manager that was at Irvine and then Eastern, and he retired, and then he is now showing back up on the consultant side. So it was nice to see him. He does a really good job, obviously, with his experience and knowledge kind of guiding that process along with a consultant team that he's engaged with. I just wanted to share that. It was good. It was good to be there. I think it's tough for people to realize it was almost, we're kind of like far removed, but really not. When you think about the watershed and the water and going down the chain, the river goes out through Oxnard area, right? And so we are linked together. We thought was a valuable thing for us to participate in. So that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Any questions from the public attendees? Any questions from public attending virtual?
Yes.
All right, directors.
That's pretty interesting. Who was there? I mean, it's a wide area. Las Virgenes and Cayugas ought to be taking some lessons from Irvine Ranch, and looking at providing themselves some supplies offset from Metropolitan, because they're in a bad spot out there. They don't have any water that's available to them.
Mr. Cole, how often do you meet with your counterparts at other water agencies?
We do it frequently. I mean, United, for instance, we've made a concerted effort to try and meet with them monthly. So I mean, pretty frequently. We're meeting with the sanitation districts every other week right now with their top management. So it's a pretty concerted effort. I know it's one of the things on all these lists and mine to expand that out further. We've got some ideas about other partnerships that potentially could come out of that. You've got to purposely make those outreaches and things. We're doing a lot, obviously, with the Central Valley groups right now. If you want to talk about that.
We have a regular meeting with Rosedale and Irvine Ranch every month. And so we meet with them just to discuss, knowing up operations, what's going on and what's coming, what opportunities are available for us. And we're venturing beyond that. We started developing relationships at different levels with Westside Water District. And Sarah is talking to their staff and myself talking to some of their staff. And actually, we are going to visit their facilities. They have a solar facility in the district that they're inviting us to come. And they're interested in visiting those then. So there is always these relationships as we're starting building with some of the strategic partners, and I think Steve is leading us with a lot of a lot of his relationships. We are building on that and building on some of all the relationships that we have with some of these agencies.
Oh, that's great! And I take it that both of you initiate these meetings and these conversations.
Yep.
Excellent. Greg Marks, any comments?
I'm just curious. There was a representative at Metropolitan at the meeting.
There was not. And it was interesting. I took that as a, I just took that in.
They weren't invited.
Yeah. I don't want to say there was there were some comments about, yeah, just that how they need to take some of the responsibility on themselves and move forward. So I think that was just an acknowledgement that Met's there and they have been there, but they can't solve supply reliability and resiliency for them. So I thought it was good.
Okay. Thank you. All right, let's move on to item 8, committee plan calendar. Mr. Al-Hassan.
As it stands now, we are going through revision of some of these items. So probably we're going to send some of this. I'm going to work with the committee secretary to make some change that we have some issues that might be moved to a later date and some that might come earlier. So expect to see some change that might come your way to, especially for the next couple of meetings, the one in August and the one in September.
Yeah, lots of agreements. Any questions from the public in attendance? Any questions from virtual attendees?
There's none.
Yeah, certainly a lot of agreements. So I can understand why there'll be changes. Questions, comments from directors?
Question, though. Is the, on the August 9th meeting, is the July verification San Cana and one of those being considered for rescheduling?
We're hopeful we're going to make that one. So just a quick update. I won't go into it too much tonight, but we're targeting getting it here.
Okay.
We've done some extra work on PFAS and the upcoming proposed MCL that we're trying to incorporate in the timing and how we walk through that. But yes, we are trying to target to get that one here to committee and get it to the board.
Yeah. Is that the one that's right on the corner of San Canyon and Soledad up on the
kind of on the hillside there?
Yeah. Boy, they moved a lot of dirt and they built that way up.
Yeah. Well, getting access to that document sooner than later would be awful given what I suspect to be the volume associated.
I hear you. Thank you for that feedback. Yes, it'll be quite the document.
All right. With no further comments, questions from the directors, we move to item number 9, adjournment. This meeting has been adjourned. Thank you, staff.
Thank you.